This hour is brought to you by The Pint. Get your green on and celebrate St. Patrick's Day with $5 Guinness and $4 Jamesons only at The Pint, 277 Front Street West.
Never filtered, always fun.
Jay Peterman is now officially the starting quarterback for the Bills. So thank you for reminding me.
How did that slide through the weeds?
I can't believe we forgot about Jay Peterman. And
he's done working on his catalog?
I guess.
This is incoherent drivel.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the official voice of the Leafs.
Had an experience earlier this morning that I have never experienced before.
Really?
Was very excited about the outcome. Was nervous when it began, but was very excited about the outcome. Got pulled over this morning.
Oh.
Won't get into the infraction. I thought I had a quality case. I didn't think I had done anything
wrong. You're not going to get into the infraction?
Well, I got clipped for rolling through a stop sign.
I was just going to say, rolling stop sign.
But I thought I stopped. Like, I know I stopped, but maybe the wheels were still spinning. I got those rims, right? Like in a rap video.
You've got the rap
No,
rims?
I don't actually
no.
have those. But,
I was going to say.
So I immediately, the cherries go on. I saw the cop. I'm like, here we go. I'm getting pulled over. I know what's coming. I have no idea what kind of price tag comes with that kind of infraction.
Oh, that's probably at least a $1.20?
Yeah, probably $1.20, $1.40.
Yeah. And no demerits or demerits in that situation? That's what concerns. I'll pay, like in Alberta, every time I fly back to Alberta, I get clipped for photo radar. But, like, there's no demerits, no nothing. You just write a check and move on. Like, that's how Alberta...
Straight cash.
They just rip you off every way they can, and it's the photo radar. And now it's the cameras, because...
So what do you mean? Like, if they get you going too fast, they can nab you doing that, or...?
I've been clipped for 68 and a 60, but you get it... I ran with Avis all the time. I'll just get a letter from Avis, like, a month later saying, here's the photo radar, here's the license plate, and that's the car you were driving.
There's you burning...
Like, you know, blowing through a red light or whatever.
Exactly.
But the thing is there's no... Because they just get the plate, they can't identify who's driving. So no, there's no demerits, no nothing. It's just a simple cash rip you off transaction.
I had never heard of that.
They
I didn't know that.
Millions.
I'm so happy that's not here. That's greasy. I don't listen. If the cops get you, they get you, and everyone does it. Everyone breaks the law in the car every once in a while. You're going too fast,
they switched to the cameras because there were when photo radar first came out. They used to have people sit in vans at the side of the road that would photo you.
Right.
Like, and they weren't police officers. They were independent contractors
that they were paying to do that.
And those guys started to get physically threatened. Because think about it. You're in a van.
Yeah.
And a guy blows by you at 80 in a 60. He's doing 80 in a 60.
He knows he's got it coming.
They'll circle back.
Right.
And go bang on the guy's window. So, like, I think there was a time where there was a few incidents, especially in Alberta, like some old school guys.
Yeah, like, you're not sending that picture anywhere.
And believe me, my buddies are idiots. We've had scenarios where a guy got drunk and passed out early, and we haven't even, like, started drinking or whatever. So a guy will grab his keys and mow up and down the road going 100 in, like, a 80 zone.
I've never heard of that
before. And get
him
a bunch of photo radar tickets.
I've never heard of that before.
Guys are idiots.
That is really, that's Big Brother. That's 1984.
I'm telling you, it makes, I don't know the number, but it makes millions and millions of dollars for the economy in Alberta.
Yeah, it would for sure. I'm shocked it isn't happening here. I'm shocked that it's not in Ontario.
I can't even tell you the number that I've... Like, you think O pays tickets and all that?
Oh, he'd be broke. He'd be bankrupt.
He'd be broke, but once a trip back to Alberta, I get clipped for it because now I'm ingrained. I'm a Torontonian. If I've got room on the 401, I go. Like, there's so much traffic. There's so much things. When I lived in New York, lived in L.A., if there's open road, you just go. You're not really paying attention. Like, you pay attention. You're not driving 160, but if it's $1.20 you can get up to on the 401,
get up
I get
to
there.
It and do it.
Because you take a little space for yourself. Not the case in Alberta, especially in Edmonton. They've got a ring road. It's a nice... Like,
no one's
no
on
traffic.
The road anyway.
Like,
right.
And you go bombing along at $1.20 and it's 100, you get clipped. That's
crazy. I really don't like that.
No,
like, I know that's a big deterrent, and I'm maybe the roads are safer. I'd like to see the statistics on that, though.
Right.
Like, how road safety has improved ever since the cameras, or are people just like, I don't care, you can clip me. I'll send you the $40 or $100 or whatever, and I'm not going to stop doing what I've always done.
I just feel like there's it goes both ways, because I remember my mom and my dad driving me one time, and like my dad must have been talking or something, and he like almost locked the brakes up and put us through the windshield because he was, you know, he realized there was a camera
last second,
wanted to lock it down.
Yeah.
But
well, earlier this morning, you know, I was accused, wrongfully accused of rolling through a stop sign, and the officer came up and asked for my license, and I said I thought I had stopped, and
yeah.
She said she didn't think so, but she asked me how my record was.
Yeah.
My driving record, and I said flawless, which was not true, really.
Like, in your mind, it's flawless.
In my mind, it's flawless, but in reality, in fact, based on the record, it's not flawless.
You've been clipped before.
Absolutely.
But you've blocked those out.
Yeah, I've done so many stupid things that I've been clipped for. Like, nothing egregious and crazy, and I haven't, luckily, knock on wood, been in any accidents or caused anything. But, you know, I'm no different than anyone else. I've been driving for 15 years, more than that. I've been clipped a couple of times. So she said, okay, I'll go check. And if you have, if you actually do have a flawless record, I'll let you go.
No way.
So that, like, 3 minutes, I'm freaking out because I'm like, if she finds out that I got caught speeding 2 years ago or I got caught doing this 5 years ago, I'm done. She's not only going to give me the ticket.
She's going to
flag me and be like, this guy's a lying idiot.
Yeah.
I guess the record that got pulled up, I don't know, it got...
Like, well, it cleans out, I believe, after three years. After 3 years, because I know insurance in Ontario is ridiculous because there's like that no-fault accidents and there's all sorts of things. And if you have like a speeding ticket, your premiums are through the roof. But yet they'll let anybody just jump behind the wheel and buy a caravan with 400,000 kilometers on it and drive in front of like a maniac. But... I've kind of learned in Toronto to drive the way that people drive here, and that's
well. You have to, right? You got kind of have to, and that's the thing. Like we look down, we go to different countries around the world, and you look at their driving, and you're like, "This is crazy." Well, that's just the way it's always been, and that's the way it's going to be, and it's on you to figure it out. You can't go over to England and be like, "Actually, I want to drive on my side of the car." that's not the way it works.
When I played in England during the lockout, I got an apartment, I got paid, and they handed me the keys to a car. And it was a standard.
I couldn't do it. There's no way I could drive that.
The like everything's on the other side, including like the pedals. Like I'm driving a standard with my left hand. Like it was
Think about how dangerous that is. Like how can people show up in England and be just handed over the keys to a car?
Oh yeah.
Because you're willing to pay the rental fees, like how can you possibly allow that?
I think
and vice versa.
I think you need an international driver's license.
I'll bet you that's new because I've heard stories like my uncles and stuff going over there in like the 70s and they're bombing around Scotland or whatever.
Yeah.
And there's no way they know how to drive.
No, but
my biggest challenge
was going in those roundabouts, like a circle.
Right.
Because now you got to hug the right side.
That's like Chevy Chase in the left European vacation.
It certainly was an eye-opener, but I mean, driving in Russia, where there's no rules, people on the sidewalk, like, it was just a gong show.
Go even further east than that. Like, go to Thailand, which I've never been to, but my wife has been there. She said she's never been more terrified in her life than in, like, cabs in Bangkok, because there's just nothing.
There's no paint
on the ground. There's nothing. And they're all going a million miles an hour, and there's animals astray that are walking in the road. It's crazy.
Yeah, like, see, I wouldn't want to drive in a country like that where
I don't want to be in the back seat either. So how do you get around? I don't know.
Yeah, that's funny. So okay,
anyway,
so
long story short, got off the hook.
So you have a flawless record.
I guess I have a flawless record. So and it remains flawless to this day because I didn't get clipped for allegedly rolling through a stop sign. Which again, I thought I had a pretty solid case. I really did think I stopped.
Kind of a greasy call though. Like was anybody else at the stop sign?
There was no one around. No one around. There was nothing going on.
You didn't see a cop in your rearview mirror?
Well, it was one of those like three-way stops.
Okay.
Where the streets were like perpendicular, but it wasn't a four-way stop. And I don't know. I wasn't looking left and right because I knew that there wasn't a car that was at the stop sign.
Right. Luckily, you weren't on your phone or anything.
Right.
Like,
I wasn't.
You know, I've really. Like, that's kind of a no guy for me now.
I've really tried to shape it up.
Like, I put my headset on and I listen to music, or I'll run it through my stereo. But, like, I have really tried to focus on the like non-texting and
non-communication. No, it's one of the scariest developments in society is the amount of craziness happening on the roads because people are texting and calling.
And if you want to make $1 billion or more, you got to figure out a system where somebody gets into a vehicle and drives it and they can't text.
Well, I think that's coming. I think it's going to get to a point where in order to ignite your car, you have to use your phone and it's got to be like stationed somewhere.
Like in there. Or
like in the back seat, you've got to, you know, plug it in for you to even be able to start your car. Like that's what's coming. It's going to get to that
point. But that's, to me, it's $1 billion idea or more than that. But it's, how do you get that? Because passengers, fine, no problem in that. But like you're, the person driving, you want to be as focused as possible.
Yes.
And
yeah, you have to. I mean, for the safety of everyone. Anyway, got off. All good. I'm fine. Boy, a lot of people pointing out $200 ticket, 3 demerit points.
Oh, wow.
For that infraction. 3 demerit points.
So that would have, that not only hit you in the pocketbook, that would have got after you insurance-wise, too, because of Ontario.
Right.
That is, you were very lucky. You should have taken the badge number and given a shout out.
Well, but then, you know, I don't want to get the officer in trouble or whatever. But
it's not it's the officer's discretion.
Right.
Because I think they're allowed to.
I had a good case. I made my case.
You made your case?
Well, I think so. Anyway. So shout out to
Officer,
whoever it was.
Yes, exactly.
Thinking of you today.
There you go.
Leafs in action tonight. First time in what feels like months. I mean, I know they played on Saturday night. But
I know. It has been such a lean schedule.
The good thing is now you get into a rhythm. Like now they play tonight, tomorrow, Saturday. They're basically going to play every other night until they're out of the playoffs. So, you know, it's been a week or so for you to kind of relax as a fan. Maybe you're not paying attention to all the details because, quite frankly, there's not a lot going on. But it's a weird time in the league, you know. And I know this is a topic we've discussed so many times before. But the playoffs should be starting tonight. Like, this is perfect for me. 70 games. Tampa's played 70. The Leafs have played 69. Yeah. You know, Montreal's played 70. This feels right to me at this juncture of the season. You can get 70 games in. You can still each have a bye week. You can shut down for Christmas. You can do all these different things, the All-Star break, and play 70 games. Like, why do we need the remaining 12?
Yeah.
I don't see why you even need it.
No, because if you got to 70 games instead of 82, maybe game 60 is where you start to have that comfort level.
That's
anyways.
What you like would you do. Would you would adjust.
You would just adjust.
You would adjust.
I'm 100% on board with shortening the schedule, shortening the amount of games. It's never going to happen. The gate is worth too much. You need 82 games in the owner's minds because ultimately, if the players want to cut 10 games off the schedule, you have to cut your salaries.
Yeah, you would.
And here's where I say, and only because I've lived it, Bob Goodenow said years ago in those meetings, in the PA meetings, said, I'm just going to tell you guys this, and he goes, I hope that you don't take offense to this, but he said, the great players are always going to get paid. Where they're going to cut out is the middle tier, and they're going to have a top tier and a bottom tier ultimately.
Yeah.
So if you're a backup goaltender who maybe pushes through to be a really like a 30-game guy instead of a 15-game guy, that's gone. Like you're not going to make $3 million because you're going to have to give the money to the top, and then the guys on the bottom are going to be entry-level and minimum wage, which it's not the worst thing in the world because people – for the most part, buy jerseys of the guys at the top. They're not, you know, they're...
Well, look at what happens in MLS. Like, TFC's a good example.
Okay.
Giovinco's making a lot of money. Michael Bradley's making money. Altidore's making money. There are other guys on that team coming off the bench who are making, like, 60 grand.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Giovinco's making 7 million cash.
Yeah.
And there are guys on his team who's going out to dinner with and on the bus with and in the hotels who are making, you know, 70, 80 grand.
Which is a good living, but not it's not a pro sports living.
It's
that
not
type
a
of
pro
thing.
Sports living, and it's such a disparity where, you know, I guess you do see that in the real world where the CEOs make a fortune, and if you get all the way to the bottom, you know, you go to the plant, the guy working at the line is making 40 or 45.
Right.
But the guy working in the plant.
You're not working side to side.
It's not side by side with the CEO.
That's the,
it's not hooking the CEO up. You know what I mean? Like, there's a guy that will be on TFC making 80 grand who makes a brilliant cross to Jovinko for him to score that goal. Now we give Jovinko the accolades and, what a great player. And it's like, okay,
the guy
he's worth that money, but the guy making 80 grand put that on a tee for you.
And that's, I guess, the guy making 80, he aspires to get to 2 million, 3 million or whatever, and hopefully he does. I have to backtrack quickly. No offense to the word pro sports and money at 80 grand. Like, there are guys that make 80 grand and that. What we're trying to point out is the difference, the disparity.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. This isn't a slight
like that
on
is,
anybody
again,
making money.
That, it's like working on a movie set.
Right.
Where the guy holding the mic boom, you know, he's making a good living. He's got a good job. He's maybe unionized. He's got more security than the pro athlete.
Right.
But he's sitting there and like Brad Pitt's making 20 million.
Yeah.
And it's like.
Well, but
okay.
it's the person making Brad Pitt look good, and the reason why we want to watch Brad Pitt, that's the person who's the disparity of the financial
situation.
Right,
but with sports, you know, everyone's in front of the camera.
Right.
So no one shows up and walks away from the movies and goes, man, the makeup artist, what a brilliant job they just did. Or the, you know, whoever was holding the mic boom in Hollywood at that studio, what a great job that person did. You focus simply on the stars, where in MLS, it's the same thing in CFL, where, you know, like the quarterbacks, the higher end guys are making a lot of money, and then there's guys who are playing on the offensive line protecting him who are making a lot less.
I guess that's the way of the world.
It is.
Regardless if you're in the entertainment business or sports business, I mean, you could go right down the line. The surgeon, as opposed to the assistant, the nurse, or whatever, helping out.
Like, yeah, big difference,
big disparity.
No, for sure, and that's life. And I'm not saying that we should be altering the way society works.
No,
but I guess to the point of where the NHL is at and reducing games and all that kind of stuff, I still think there would be a strong enough push from the union to keep the minimum at a certain level,
right?
So that it doesn't drop to a point where guys on the fourth line are making 100 grand. They'd still be making 700 or 800
grand. You want guys to, I always say this too, if you, for example, are not a bit player, a fine player, but you make the league minimum, or, you know, 500-600, let's say 700 grand a year, but if you play 10 years, you can
that's
make
a
good
living. That's a lot of money.
Plus you get pension money. Plus you get a lot of other things. But it is different. You have to realize that what your wheelhouse is. And I've talked about this. And actually, Jason Strudwick is, our boy Strud, he's a prime example. The market he played in. He was making, and I think it's common knowledge, so I'll throw numbers out there. But I think he was making like $550 playing for the Rangers 1 year. So if you factor in cost of living, taxes are 49% in New York City, because it's 46 plus 3%. Agent fees, escrow, and actually just renting a place for a month and that. Like, he told me one time what his take home was at the end of the season.
It was not 550.
It's not 550, put it that way.
Yeah.
So you're, and that's why there's certain guys who put in a lot of time, and hopefully they're smart with their money. And then there's other guys that, you know, when their career's over, they have to work, because they didn't make $30 million in their career. They didn't, you know, maybe some guys weren't as smart financially with it. And you realize sometimes the checks are, like, in your mind when you're in the middle of it, you think those checks are going to come forever. And you see this not just in hockey, in every pro sport.
Oh, yeah.
How
man.
Many stories? Was that Andre Rison, or which was
Andre Rison absolutely lost everything.
Mike Tyson.
Tyson was making, like, he made like over $300 million.
Yeah.
And he lost everything. Like, that is to the extreme
of
overspending and just really being completely ignorant when it comes to being careful with your money.
But guys like.
But it happens.
It happens all the time. And I have former teammates that are struggling. I have, you know, guys that I know that played against that you're like, man, I thought that guy did pretty well. And then you look at, they either got involved in with a bad agent, a bad investment guy, you know, threw their money away, gambled, like, you name it. Like,
can't give up the lifestyle. Like, Chris Bosch was talking about that recently. He was on the Bill Simmons podcast, and Bosch made a lot of money.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of money. And he still wants to play, but because of his health concerns, he's probably never going to play again.
Right.
But he said, now that I'm out of it and I'm watching it, I can see why guys go broke. I can see why the divorce rate is through the roof.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because of, you know, the lifestyle you're leading when you meet your girlfriend and then wife, and now all of a sudden you have to live a different lifestyle and things happen. And, you know, let's not be naive here. Sometimes there's gold diggers in the world.
For sure.
And when the money stops, all of a sudden it's like, okay, I'm out of here. And that goes both ways.
It does.
But, you know, Bosch said, all of a sudden you can't go to that great steakhouse every single night. You know, you can't spend $400 on a meal every single night.
Well, you're not going to the strippers and making it rain and doing all these ridiculous things that sometimes you have that disposable income where you're like, okay, you know,
I got another contract coming,
another check coming.
You know, it's the 15th in a couple of days and I got $400,000 cash coming into my account, I can do it.
Right.
When that stops, and it's not always, again, the guys at the bottom end that you concern yourself about. Like I got to be honest, this is going to sound strange for me to say I'm concerned about this guy, but there's a part of me that is nervous about how he's going to transition into a non-pro lifestyle, and it's Tom Brady.
Really?
Like, well, Brady is, by all accounts, he's still a great player. Like, he's the reigning MVP, so it's not like he's begging teams to take him on, but he cherishes the idea of being a pro football player to such an extreme, almost an unhealthy extreme, and he's got this new documentary out, which I haven't seen yet, but I've read different excerpts about, where he talks about it, and his wife talks about how she's like, I would like to see him walk away, but he's so connected to it, and he's just so constantly...
He lives it. That gets his life.
Living that, absolutely, and he's just obsessed with being the greatest football player and playing all the time. And again, this is Tom Brady, who's married to Giselle.
Yeah.
He's been to the Super Bowl 8 times. He's made hundreds of millions of dollars.
Worth hundreds of millions of dollars.
Afterwards, he will continue to make hundreds of millions of dollars because he's like at that level. He's at the Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods level where he'll be sponsored for life making millions of dollars. Yet, I get the sense like he's not going to be able to handle it.
He's going to have something that challenges him. And I got great advice in my mid-30s as a player. I was still playing, and I remember a former hockey player sitting in the stands, and I went and sat beside him, and he said to me, he said, Jamie, regardless of what you make, he said, say you retire 35 years old, and you want to live till you're 90, what are you going to do for 55 years?
No kidding.
Even if you have money in the bank, you're going to sit and stare at your wife, you're going to stare at your kids and harass them. You need something, and especially the way that pro athletes or you know, anybody who's had some success in their career and they've lived it. Like, for me, I was a hockey player since I was 4 years old. I never declared myself one, but that was always my focus. And I feel like I'll always be a guy that works, regardless of whether it's here or somewhere else. Like, I'm always going to do something just because that's just my nature. But there are some guys that have had such a tough time transitioning, and they may not have that skill set to transition into something else.
Mm-hmm.
Or the opportunity may not be there. Sometimes it's just not there. And, like, I think Brady will have opportunities.
Oh, the world is his oyster, and it always will be.
But will anything live up to what...
That's what I'm saying.
Dropping back in the pocket.
That's what I'm saying.
Chased by maniacs.
He could become a GM. He could buy into a team.
Right.
He could do... basically anything he wants. He's the golden boy, Mr. America, Tom Brady.
Yeah.
But nothing will ever replicate playing in a game because he'll never be able to play again.
Yeah.
Once you're gone, man. There's no running out on the field. And it's not just the Super Bowls. Like, this guy wants to play preseason games in Cleveland against the Browns.
Yeah.
Like, that's what he enjoys doing.
Well, and that's
not just the Super Bowl.
You're right. And I've been out. This is my 10th year out from playing. And I sometimes, when I watch a game, I try and envision myself in that game, and I can't see myself there.
Yeah.
Like, I can't.
That's wild.
It is weird.
A.J. Hawk will join us, longtime NFLer, and very connected to the Packers. That was a big story yesterday, the Packers cutting Jordy Nelson and then signing Jimmy Graham. And Aaron Rodgers, you know, he jumped on Instagram, and he posted a pretty emotional hit about his relationship with Jordy Nelson. So we'll tell you more about that. We'll catch up with A.J. Hawk. We'll get into TFC's big win over the Tigres down in Mexico. They're off to the semifinals of the Champions League. And Tim Bezbachenko, their GM, will join us just after 6. And a great call from the Jovinko free kick last night, courtesy of Univision. We'll let you hear that as well. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app. Ray Ferraro coming up, teeing up the Leaf game tonight. What went down in Montreal last night? A bit of a scary scene between Greg Pattern and Andrew Shaw. And Pattern, who was supposed to be on the wrong side of the hit, ended up actually on the right side of the hit, but he wasn't happy with Andrew Shaw. We'll tell you more about that in the 5 p.m. hour. Jerry's percentages, I believe, is going down at 5:30, but we have a special announcement from Jerry that we'll play just after 5. So we'll play that. We got to get to this Jovinko call from Univision last night on that free kick. He was outstanding last night, TFC advancing in Champions League. But NFL free agency is almost officially open. We've already got a bunch of news items out there. We'll catch up with former Packer, longtime NFLer, current NFL analyst, A.J. Hawk in 2 minutes. NFL free agency not officially open, but we already know where a lot of these guys are going. And a couple of new news items that came out of today, the Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu, is now available for anyone to sign him because the Cardinals cut him because they had to give Sam Bradford $20 million guaranteed. And Ndamukong Suh, he is also going to be released by the Dolphins, so he's going to be available. But probably the biggest news out of the day is Joe Thomas announcing that he is officially retiring after 11 seasons in the NFL, and all of which were played in Cleveland with the Browns. And to chat about that and some other things pertaining to the National Football League, we're joined now by former NFLer. He's been on the show many times. Here's A.J. Hawk. What's happening, A.J.?
Not much. What's going on, guys?
Well, I want to get your take on this Joe Thomas story, like his whole career. He's a Lock Hall of Famer. He's a great, great left tackle. We all know about the streak that came to an end this year. But when you look back on it, like, how can you explain to me how a guy of that caliber would stay with the Browns for 11 years?
Well, he's drafted there, and there was always talk, especially later on in his time there, of him being traded somewhere else. That was the last 3 or 4 years. It seemed like there was a point every season when, or in the offseason, when he was going to get traded to a team that looks to be a contender. And it never really came about for some reason. I'm sure Joe was kind of torn with that. If you think about it, he feels he loves being in Cleveland, and that's where he came up as a player. But at the same time, he wants to win and get in the playoffs. So I was a bit surprised that he actually decided to retire. I know he said it physically, he can't play at the level he wants to anymore, but, man, he did it for so long. It was just so good. You're right. The first ballot Hall of Famer, no question.
And, I mean, is there any backstory? Like, did he marry a local girl there? And just, like, I mean, sometimes that happens, right, where you I can only equate it to hockey, where there was the captain of the Arizona but Phoenix Coyotes, Shane Doan, stayed with the same organization. And sometimes the organization was an absolute tire fire, but he wouldn't get traded at the deadline. He would stick through it. And, you know, in looking at this story, like, there's a couple different things. Yeah, he said his body couldn't hold up, but I'm sure he probably still could have got another contract, so he could have chased some money.
He could have, for sure, yeah.
And that's the thing, like, it's good on him to walk away, but I almost think that he left some money on the table.
Oh, yeah, of course. Any team would have had him if he wanted to continue to play. And the Browns would have loved for him to not retire. But I guess it seemed like he'd been thinking about it for a while now, and he's coming off an injury last year, and I guess felt like his body wasn't recovering or could not recover the way he wanted to. But, especially after they made all these moves in free agency, I thought that was like the icing on the cake to get him back. Why wouldn't you want to give it another shot? And they've had different periods of hope throughout his years there, and this feels like, at least early on, there's a lot of hope for the Browns moving forward.
With former NFLer A.J. Hawk, former longtime Green Bay Packer A.J. Hawk, and Jordy Nelson was a longtime Packer who is now a former Packer, and that was a big story yesterday. After a decade with the team, the Packers decided to cut him because they couldn't restructure the deal, and reports are out there they were asking him to pay for or play at a price that just simply wasn't acceptable. But at the same time, they go out there and they also sign Jimmy Graham, and they bring in a big target for Aaron Rodgers. But it's been an interesting offseason for Rodgers because they fired the quarterback coach, and Rodgers went on record saying he wasn't a fan of that, was wondering aloud why they didn't approach him to talk about it. And now they cut his best friend on the team, or one of his best friends and his most favorite target over the past decade. What do you make of this story, and what kind of message do you think the Packers are trying to send to Aaron Rodgers?
I don't know if they're trying to send him a message or what. Of course, he and Jordy are very, very close on and off the field. So I was a bit surprised by it. I think but Jordy's smart, and he knew that he has a high cap number, and they have a lot of money in their receiver room with three elite receivers pretty much under big contracts. So I was just surprised that they weren't able to work out a deal to restructure his contract or give him a little bit of an extension to spread some of the money out and with the ability to keep Jordy there, because Jordy's never been a guy that wants to, he doesn't really care about the big payday. He definitely could have gotten more money if he would have let it go to free agency earlier in his career and got to shop around. But he basically knew how special Green Bay was. He loves it, and he loves playing with Aaron Rodgers, and he played for a discount pretty much his whole career in Green Bay. So that's why I was a little bit surprised that they weren't able to work something out there, and they're moving on from him, which was pretty shocking to me. And I know there's reports that he's visiting a couple different teams, and I would imagine he's going to go somewhere that has a quarterback that can get him the ball, and I think Jordy has tons of great football in front of him still.
When you look at the amount of money being spent this offseason, and specifically quarterbacks, Kirk Cousins gets the guaranteed contract, Sam Bradford gets $20 million guaranteed. What kind of cash do you think Aaron Rodgers is reasonably worth?
Well, he's going to get a little bit more than whoever the highest paid guy is right now. Is that Kirk Cousins? I know he signed a 3-year deal, and it's fully guaranteed, or I guess, with $84 million. I don't know if Aaron's going to try to get a fully guaranteed contract, but I always say you're worth whatever someone is willing to pay you. And I hear people talk about different players not being worth a certain amount or whatever. And yeah, I mean, it's just a game. Nobody's worth hundreds of millions of dollars to play a game. But if someone is, like I say, if someone's willing to pay you, that's what you are worth. If one team out of 32 wants to pay you $80 million, then that's your worth right there, and you take it. But I think Aaron, if they work it out, I don't know when it happens. He has a couple years left on his deal, but whenever they do work it out, Aaron will be the highest paid player in the NFL.
And you sit back, being a former player, do you sit back and watch some of these guys signing for money, big, big cash, and have you ever wanted to take to Twitter and just say, like, that guy's not worth half of that? I mean, we saw that in the last couple of days where guys just throwing each other under the bus. I mean, to me, those are kind of dinner table conversations, maybe over a beer with other players. But it seems to me like there's guys coming forward just taking shots, especially at a guy like Bradford.
Yeah, I saw that. No, I've never had the urge to go on Twitter and publicly say that. I guess you're right, maybe dinner conversations. I always try to at least limit myself from doing that too much, just because, by the point I made before, if someone's willing to pay him, what's he going to do, turn it down? Like, if you're Sam Bradford or you're anybody else that gets a big contract, and say someone comes to you and says, hey, we're going to pay you $20 million a year to do this, Jay. Nah, I'm not worth it. Give me $7 million. Like, no one's going to do that. Why would you? So if someone wants to pay you the money, you take it and run with it. So I get what you're saying. I understand what you're saying for sure. And I think fan bases definitely can get upset at things like that.
Yeah, Sam Bradford, the richest pinata of all time. And he doesn't care.
Yeah, he doesn't care.
Why would I care what Eric Weddle has to say on Twitter? You're making $20 million guaranteed. Who cares? You know?
Yeah, I'll take it.
Yeah, me too. Yeah,
exactly.
Well, we'll see where it all goes, man. We're looking forward to it. And we'll be tracking you online. And we'll get you back on the show down the road. Thank you for doing this.
All right, no problem. Thank you, guys.
There's A.J. Hawk, former Super Bowl champ with the Packers, longtime NFLer, current analyst with SiriusXM and Fox Sports. Yeah, if you're Bradford, who cares?
No, you're
right. $20 million guaranteed is $20 million guaranteed. You're not going to get put in a bad mood because some guy chirped you online.
No, not at all. But it's a chirping of the peers. That's the funny thing is, like, how many times have we talked about people's salary on this show?
All the time. In a salary cap world, which is what the NFL is, it's a big part of the daily conversation.
Right.
Constantly look ahead.
Same thing in the NHL. But, you and I think, last week had a spirited debate about JVR and where he would fit.
Yeah.
And how much, would you leave him on the table or you let him go? Because $6+ million wouldn't pay it for a guy who's playing 14 minutes a night.
I wouldn't pay it. I've said it many times.
But I guess my point being is that JV, he's going to get $6 million paid from somebody, and he doesn't care what we have to say about
no,
$6 million a year.
Like, but if he gets that or more, I will be critical. Here's the amazing thing about these criticisms is sometimes you try to walk him back and be like, no, it's not a shot at him. It's a shot at management. No, it's also a shot at that guy.
Yeah.
Right? Like Eric Weddle saying that nobody in the history of the league has been paid more for doing less. It's not a shot at the GM of Arizona.
That's a shot.
It's a shot at Sam Bradford.
Like a clear shot.
Yes. That's me saying, as Eric Weddle, I don't think you're any good. You haven't done anything to prove yourself. It's a joke right. You're making this kind of money.
Whereas a guy like JVR puts up 30 goals, 25.
He's proven himself.
He proven Absolutely. Himself. It may not work in this structure with the Toronto Maple Leafs based on where they have to go financially.
Right. And I would be fearful, even though every player is different and every situation is different, of what we discuss every single year on July 1st when Louis Erickson got his deal.
Yeah.
Louis Erickson had a couple of 30-goal seasons, I believe, prior to that.
And leading right into it, yeah.
And that contract was horrible, and it remains horrible. Kyle Okposo, bad deal.
Yeah.
Lucic, bad deal. You know, Andrew Ladd. These were all on the same day 2 years ago. Well, and that's what I'm saying. Like, if JVR hits the market and gets like 6.5 per over 7 years, at some point that's going to burn that team.
You're right.
It will.
And the one thing that the challenge for general managers that can't help themselves because they got owners breathing over their neck is to try and limit term. I'd much rather pay a little bit more cash up front, but have term where there's some flexibility that, hey, we're overpaying this guy for 2 years instead of five.
And there's a better chance that you're going to get his prime.
Right.
Right? Like that's the big concern. I understand why the players want the security, of course.
Right.
But if you're the team and you're the league, I'm willing to pay you as much as you're worth as long as I believe you're going to continue to be worth it. But far too often in pro sports, especially fully guaranteed contracts like in the NHL and the NBA, you see it all the time. Like Carey Price is a prime example.
Right.
I'm fine with paying him $10.5 million for the next 5 years.
Yeah.
But year 6 through 8, I don't think he's going to be worth that. But the reasoning is, hey, I got to do it because for 5 years, it's a great contract.
Well, yeah, and the thing is, I still believe, I mean, Luongo's an outlier, but I believe Price is an outlier, and Luongo's getting it done at 38, 39.
Right, so but he's at like $5 million, Luongo. Luongo's not at 10.5.
No, you're right, but that's the going rate. That's my point is, you're right.
It's not only Price.
It wasn't Price. It was more the principle of
right,
of what
exactly.
You're talking
like,
about.
Could he prove me wrong? Yes, he could. If anyone's going to do it, it's probably Carey Price.
Right.
But do I feel really comfortable in the next 5 years that he's going to be a great goalie? Yes.
Yeah.
Do I feel incredibly comfortable for 8 years? No, I can't say that I do.
And now you're.
And there's no way Montreal does either.
No, you're getting mileage on the body and some injuries over the last couple of years too. That's a problem.
Ray Ferraro will join us just after 5. A statement from Jerry. Just after 5 as well, Jerry's percentage is scheduled to go down in 45 minutes. And we'll look back on TFC's loss last night, but win overall based on road goals. And they tied in aggregate. It can be confusing if you don't really follow the sport.
Very confusing.
Ray's coming up. Tim Bezpachenko, the GM of TFC, just after 6:05. All right, a message from Jerry in about 10 minutes. So Jerry will be making a very important statement just after 5 p.m., and then Ray Ferraro will join us. And Ray was in the building last night when Ottawa just laid a beating down on Tampa.
Yeah.
And we were talking about this earlier, that Andre Vasilevsky, his numbers have not been very good recently. He has not looked good.
He's hit the ditch recently, and every starting goaltender this year has had a little downtrend. It's his turn, but you hope he gets out of it sooner than later.
If you're Tampa, you hope that.
Oh, yeah.
But you need it if you're Tampa.
Absolutely. Like, you still got a month to get it going. But there, to me, Tampa just looks like they're just mailing it in right now.
Everybody is. Like, that's the thing. There's a couple of races. Calgary won last night, and they're in a race. And Florida, Columbus, Jersey, they're in a race.
Yeah.
But this division, like Tampa, Boston, and Toronto are so far gone, and they have been for 3 months.
Do you
more
care?
Than that.
Do you, I mean, other than watching the Leafs play, do you care about this game tonight?
No, that's the weird thing. Like, it's a strange feeling.
There's nothing on the line.
It kind of has, it's a nostalgic feeling to a couple of years ago when they were tanking in a weird way.
Right.
like, obviously now you want them to win, so you keep a good feeling going and get a rhythm going and just avoid injuries. And I guess Florida, they're not within striking distance. They're 12 back, but they got a couple games in hand. So keep winning some games so you know exactly where you are and you can feel as secure as possible. But no, the Leafs and the Raptors are in the same spot.
Yeah.
You know, the Raptors won in Brooklyn last night, and it wasn't much of a game. And in the fourth quarter, they took off, and the second unit stepped up. And that's 50 wins,
yeah,
3 years in a row.
Win. Like, that's impressive.
It's very impressive, and they're gonna break their team record of 56 wins in a season. They're going to blow past that. But the Raptors and the Leafs have the luxury of being such good teams and being so far into a playoff spot. You're just hoping they stay healthy and kind of get through it and keep winning some games and feel good and let's move on. You're just waiting for the playoffs to start.
It is so true. Like, there's not a huge buildup for the game.
No, there really isn't.
Because there's not much on the line other than, you know, kid comes up.
And Andreas Janssen makes it interesting, him playing tonight.
Exactly. You're excited to see what he's capable of.
We'll talk more about him in the 5 p.m. hour. Tim Bezbatchenko, the GM of TFC, will join us just after 6 p.m. And a message from Jerry to start off hour two.